Hi, you're listening to another podcast from the Cloud Evangelist website. My name is Richard Morrell. Thanks for taking the time to download this file. As you may have noticed, it's been radio silence from the podcast channel the last couple of weeks. I've been travelling in Barcelona for VMworld, and then this week I've been over in Amsterdam at the GigaOM Structure Conference. So talking huge amounts about cloud and virtualization, talking to analysts, talking to journalists, talking to customers, more importantly, talking to the channel and to resellers and to end users. So I've had laryngitis for about the last week and a half, 2 weeks, so we haven't actually been able to get anything recorded without me sounding like ET. This week, when we were in Amsterdam, I was joined by Chris Wells from Columbus, Ohio, and Chris sits in our cloud business unit, and he's evangelical about the whole CloudForms piece. He's one of our major exponents talking about infrastructure as a service. I recorded a session that he gave on Wednesday in Amsterdam, and I'd like to play it back to you today. It's cleaned up. It should sound pretty good. And he's talking about where Red Hat sits with regards to CloudForms and also about emerging technologies in cloud. So without further ado, handing you over to Chris. Come back soon. Hopefully I have a voice. We'll have a lot more podcasts for you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate you guys coming in to see this session because you've overcome two key challenges. You came at lunchtime and you found this room. Because I know I was challenged trying to figure out where this room was, trying to navigate back to it. But I appreciate you coming to the session. My name is Chris Wells. I work at Red Hat. I work inside of our cloud business unit. We have several different business units inside of Red Hat, if you're familiar with some of our products. We have our core platform team, which is focused on Red Hat Enterprise Linux. We have the middleware team, which is focused on JBoss. We have a virtualization business unit focused around Red Hat Enterprise virtualization, one on storage. And then finally, I work inside the cloud business unit, which is where we have all of our cloud and management business tools. And what I'm going to talk to you about in this particular session is talk to you about really the open hybrid cloud. And it's really Red Hat's philosophy of how we're trying to look at cloud computing, and particularly the hybrid cloud, and what we think are some really important things that you'll want to consider as you're putting your infrastructure and architecture together around cloud computing. As we go through the session here, if you have any questions, feel free to go ahead. We've got a nice, small, intimate group here, so you don't have to wait till the very end to do any types of questions. I'm happy to entertain any questions you have as we go through. And also, if I end up talking too fast or too slow, just let me know and I'll adjust accordingly. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is, I'm sure most of you have probably seen some facts and figures like this, is, you know, there's all this interest in cloud computing. That's why we're obviously at this conference today. And you look at what people are interested in cloud computing about, and it's everything from they're looking for better cost efficiencies, because if you take a look at what the public cloud providers can do and what they can offer in terms of cost relative to what enterprise IT organizations are able to do, there's a lot of interest because of things around cost efficiency. But I'd also argue there's a lot of interest because the things that public cloud providers can do in terms of how quickly you can build out new infrastructure and new applications, that you can do things now in minutes or days as opposed to months, weeks, years. There's a lot of interest in all that. And just out of, you know, curiosity, looking here in the room, I mean, how many of you have active projects underway where you're looking at things like infrastructure as a service or platform as a service? Some of you raising your hands there. I mean, that's definitely where all the interest. And I spend a lot of my time, you know, working at Red Hat, going out and talking to customers. And one of the things they're constantly asking me is, I get a lot of customers, particularly around infrastructure as a service, who want to know, how do you do it? How do you actually go through and build a private cloud? How do you actually build a public cloud? Because when you look at what the public cloud providers have been able to do, the huge cost efficiencies that they're able to generate, the speed and scale and agility, those kinds of things, people are trying to figure out how can you actually do those things in their own data centers. And a lot of the customers that I talk to are really challenged to try and figure out from a enterprise IT perspective, how do you do these things? How can I make myself like a public cloud, like an Amazon Web Services? How can I get to that massive amount of scale and agility and cost effectiveness? Because the reality is, for most enterprise IT organizations, they're pretty much fighting a war they can't win, because they have all this different infrastructure inside their organization, whether they've got physical systems, they may have obviously a lot of virtualization, they may have multiple virtualization providers, then they have public clouds that they'd like to take advantage of. And if you have all this different infrastructure, most organizations have to treat those all as different silos. And you've got different management tools for each one of those silos. And I see people nodding their heads. And one of the big challenges that I'm sure many of you probably face on a daily basis is if you've got all this different infrastructure you're trying to take advantage of, and you've got all these different silos, and you've got a management tool for each one, what you end up with is an awful lot of complexity. And the more complexity you have in the environment, the harder it is to get to those efficiencies that a public cloud can offer, the harder it is to get to that cost effectiveness, agility, everything else, because it's just too complex to try and manage everything. And the other challenge that I talk to a lot of customers that they face on a daily basis is the fact that when it comes to their time and their budget, they spend the vast majority of their time and budget just trying to keep the lights on, just trying to keep things highly available, keeping systems maintained. The actual amount of time that they actually spend on any type of innovation, doing something that's more responsive to the business, making IT more strategic in their organizations, only about 25% of the time. So the question is, how do you overcome this? How do you actually get to cloud? How can you, if cloud's potentially the answer for reducing a lot of this complexity that you have inside the infrastructure and can give you those benefits, better cost effectiveness and better agility and stuff, how do you actually get there? And that's the question that I really want to be able to answer. And the reason that I feel pretty good about being able to answer that is that while cloud, a lot of the hype around cloud computing might be relatively new, a lot of the concepts have been around for a long time. And in fact, Red Hat's been working with a lot of different public cloud providers, and here's just a list of some of the ones that we've worked with over the years that use Red Hat technologies to power their public clouds. And they use Red Hat technologies because they're able to get all these benefits to make their clouds work. So they're able to get to the scalability, they're able to get to the multi-tenancy that they need. They're able to get to that volume that they can process. And because we're a leader, obviously, in Linux, and Linux is often one of the core underpinnings of a lot of these different clouds, we have a lot of experience with them. That's what I want to share with you, is some of that experience we have of how you can put a public cloud, or sorry, how you can bring cloud computing into your environment. So when we look at, you know, cloud computing, as I mentioned, I spent a lot of time talking to customers. And when I talk to customers, one of the first things I like to talk to them about is there's really, in our view of the world, there's really three different ways that you can get to cloud computing. So if your objective is to be able to build a private cloud, or you want to be able to flex out and have a hybrid cloud infrastructure between private and public inside your organization, there's really three different choices that you can move forward with. And I want to talk about each one and kind of the pros and cons of each one, because we believe that this change that's going on right now around cloud computing, this paradigm shift, is probably going to be about as big as any of the bigger shifts we've gone through in the last couple of decades. So when you look at going from mainframe to mid-range systems, to client server, mobile systems, rise of the internet, those were all huge paradigm shifts. Cloud computing will probably be just as large. So the important part is that any of the choices that you make today are going to have a long-term impact on your IT infrastructure, and probably something you're going to have to live with for the next decade. So you want to think about where you're trying to go. Question?
Yeah, Chris. Cloud x86 as such, but you're talking about enterprise. Enterprise nowadays still have mainframe, HP non-stop, see even from time to time. What do you see happening to those kind of systems?
Well, I think what I think will end up happening is I think you're still going to see inside of a lot of enterprise organizations that they'll still have different islands of computing power, different islands of applications for specialized needs. I think where those organizations will be successful making the transition into cloud, if they so choose, is to have the integration points to be able to say that I don't have to have my mainframe-based application or something else out on its own little silo. I should be able to incorporate and integrate that into other new applications that I'm rolling out that might be on my cloud-based infrastructure. And in fact, that's kind of a good segue to something that I'll talk about here, is that you have to have really those kind of open integration points if you want to take full advantage of what the cloud has to offer. So when we talk about three different choices, the first one's probably the easiest to understand, and that's basically to throw everything out and start all over from scratch. And this is, in fact, how most of the public cloud providers have done it. So when I talked about having conversations with customers, they'll say, Chris, how can I build a private cloud like an Amazon Web Services? Well, the philosophy that a lot of the big public cloud providers have used is they've started with a greenfield situation where they didn't have to worry about existing hardware or existing applications. They didn't have to worry about any of those things. So they were able to get all of the massive amount of scale in an organization by buying common hardware, common software, new management system, and they end up with something that's very homogeneous, very clean, very standardized, very simple. And of course, that allows them to get massive scale out of it. Which, if you happen to be in the service provider business, I think this is a very viable model for going into cloud computing. But I think for the vast majority of those of you in this room that are focused, you know, from a corporate enterprise type of view, that's not really practical. You've got too many existing investments, too many existing applications. You can't throw everything out and start all over. So the second philosophy, and this is probably one of the ones that I'd say is probably the most, one of the more popular ones today, is to go with what I would call a cloud silo. And the idea of a cloud silo is that you want to take one particular piece of your infrastructure and you want to add cloud capabilities such as self-service to that particular silo. And where most companies or organizations will start with this is they'll go and look at their virtualization infrastructure, because virtualization is one of the kind of the key underpinnings that you'll end up having to bring up cloud computing. And so people will say, if I could take where my virtualized infrastructure is and put a self-service portal or something else in front of that, then I've created a cloud. And that's very true. The downside to that approach is that you're only creating a cloud for just that one particular piece of infrastructure. If there's other parts of your infrastructure that you want to bring cloud to, you're going to have to create a separate one for each one of those silos. So as an example, if you're trying to use multiple virtualization providers, because you know different hypervisors, different virtualization technologies have different advantages in terms of price and performance and security, if you've decided that you want to have more than one, then you're going to end up having more than one cloud silo. And of course, the more silos we add into the more the organization, all we're going to do is really increase the management complexity. If we increase that management complexity, then we're probably going to lose all the benefits that cloud could give to us. So what you're ultimately really trying to get to is trying to figure out, how can I bring cloud across all of my infrastructure resources? And the philosophy that Red Hat recommends is what we call the open hybrid cloud, that I want to be able to take advantage of any infrastructure that I have inside my organization or outside my organization, such as a public cloud provider, and I want to be able to leverage all of it. So whether I've got physical systems, whether I've got multiple different virtualization providers, multiple different public cloud providers that I want to be able to flex out to, I want to be able to take advantage of all those. I think in the one of the sessions that I was listening to this morning, they had when they were talking about the cloud economics and everything, or cloudnomics. I thought it was very interesting how, you know, people might be talking about they want to have their private cloud with their virtualization providers for where they want to be at normal capacity. But since you can't predict when things are going to spike, or you might need to burst, or you have seasonality to your business, you want to be able to take advantage of the public cloud. That's exactly what this model would allow you to do, because all your infrastructure is going to be managed in one place. And as you'll see in just a moment, not only can you choose multiple different infrastructure providers, but from a management perspective, when you start deploying the applications, you don't have to worry about having to manage applications for different types of providers, because you're only going to manage them in one place through one philosophy, as opposed to having a different set for each different types of infrastructure. So open hybrid is what we believe is the way to really to do things. So if you want to do open hybrid, what exactly does an open hybrid cloud mean? I mean, hybrid obviously means the ability to go between private infrastructure and public infrastructure, public clouds, multiple virtualization providers. But what does the open part really mean, and why is the open part really important to that? Well, from looking at it with Red Hat is all about open source. Open source is how we build all of our products and how we participate within the community to build products and ultimately bring them to market. This is just an example of some of the different products, or sorry, some of the different projects, I should say, that are available in the open source community. And if you're not familiar with open source, one of the things that it really brings as a strength into the development model is that you get so many more people than just Red Hat trying to build products and participate in it. I mean, when it comes to an innovation standpoint, yes, we have a lot of Red Hat engineers that are out there actually building products and working on capabilities inside of these different projects, but the fact that you've got a whole larger community that's actually participating, you get more innovation. And this just gives you a sample of what some of these different projects that are out there. Some of them are more well-known, so some of you might have heard of projects like Puppet, for example, or Foreman. Probably you're familiar with Fedora, which is the upstream version that goes into Red Hat Enterprise Linux, JBoss. These are all different parts of the open source community. One of the ones that's really important from a cloud perspective is one called the Delta Cloud API. Delta Cloud was a project that was originally started by Red Hat. We then turned it over to the Apache Foundation for a governance so that other people could equally participate in it as well. And what Delta Cloud does is it defines a standard to allow you to interoperate with different types of infrastructure on the back end. So different types of public cloud providers, different types of virtualization. One of the things that we have heard from customers very clearly is that one of their biggest concerns about cloud computing is lock-in. And they're really worried that as they move forward, that they could move into a new infrastructure like cloud. And as they build out their cloud infrastructure, they don't want to find that they move from an older infrastructure into a new cloud infrastructure, but they didn't really gain anything in terms of flexibility. If they're completely locked in, or if you're completely locked into a particular vendor, then you don't really have any choice. And where people are very concerned about that in the hybrid cloud, of course, is they're concerned that if I put all my data into an Amazon Web Services or into another public cloud provider, how do I know I can ever get it out? How do I know I can actually have truly portable workloads to go between that different types of infrastructure? So because we see that as so important, that's why we developed the Delta Cloud project, turned it over to the Apache Foundation and now participate in it so that we can build out these different drivers on the back end to be able to go between different virtualization platforms and different types of public cloud providers to ultimately keep you from getting locked in to any one particular provider. Be able to pick out really whatever the right infrastructure is for the right job. And when we talk about being open, when Red Hat talks about the open hybrid cloud, open in this case means much more than just open source. Open source is important to it because it allows you to really be in control of your infrastructure, not being locked into a particular vendor. So that's obviously very important. But I would say that if you walked around the show floor here with all the different vendors, you'd probably hear a lot of people talk about being open. And so the question is, are they really being open? We would say that you have to satisfy all different parts of this criteria here if you really want to be open. And open is really to your benefit. Because if the solution is truly open, not only will it help you keep from getting locked in, but it's really going to let you get benefits like portability, for example. If you really want to be able to take workloads from one particular piece of infrastructure across, let's say, multiple hypervisors out to public cloud providers, then it truly has to be open. It truly has to follow the different types of standards. That's the only way that you're really going to get to that choice of infrastructure. When you asked the question earlier about, what if I still got mainframe systems or AS400 or other different parts of infrastructure, you're probably going to have workloads deployed onto your cloud that might make references back to databases or other applications on those different types of platforms. And that's where you need things like your APIs and ways to do those types of infrastructure. Only if you really have all these things could you truly have an open hybrid cloud. Question?
I have a question for you around hypervisors. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of talk about APIs, but obviously there is an element of lock-in with the underlying hypervisor that you use within your cloud platform. So if you want to run a hybrid solution, you're a VMware house, you use VMware inside your organization, and you want to burst that out to a cloud provider, then that's not going to be all that straightforward, so you need to
to make sure that the cloud provider will support VMware in order to have a completely smooth transition. So what's Red Hat's take on the underlying hypervisor? I mean, you guys obviously support...
We support KVM.
KVM, yeah. But I mean, there's a lot of cloud providers out there who will use KVM as an underlying hypervisor. Mm-hmm. But then Amazon's is different.
Right. So one of the challenges on the, like you talk about VMware, for example, one of the challenges of trying to use VMware in a hybrid type of scenario is exactly what you mentioned, that the way all the VMware cloud technologies are put together is it all is completely dependent on the hypervisor itself. So unless your public cloud provider is running VMware and supports that, there's no way to flex out there. You have to have it on both ends. From a Red Hat perspective, the way we look at it, a lot of it goes back to where I was talking about the Delta Cloud. We're trying to be infrastructure agnostic, if you will. So what you'll see here in a moment is that we use a tool called CloudForms as our hybrid cloud management tool, and then you can work that with different types of hypervisors. We, you know, as Red Hat, I would love you to come in and buy a complete Red Hat stack. So I'd love you to buy Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization and use KVM and stuff at the hypervisor layer. But you can use that, or you could use VMware, because if you already have that in your organization, or if you want to be able to, like we support Amazon and Amazon runs on Xen, as an example. So we're trying to be hypervisor agnostic, essentially. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that was more around sort of what happens from your cloud platform as to what hypervisors would you support, because obviously, we'd all like to think that it doesn't matter for your end customer who comes to you as a cloud provider, but if you're especially in a scenario where you're running hybrid clouds and you want to break those out, it obviously does matter to the user.
Yeah, I mean, I would say if I had to try and summarize, kind of the Red Hat philosophy on that, at the end of the day, it's all about choice. And I think that's what really makes Red Hat different from a lot of other vendors, is that while we would love everyone to have a complete Red Hat stack for everything, and we do supply a complete stack, we don't expect nor do we mandate you to buy the entire Red Hat stack. We're used to interoperating with a lot of other platforms and stuff, and that's how we expect cloud to be heterogeneous, not homogeneous. So speaking of, good segue. Speaking of the whole stack, what I'll talk about in a moment is CloudForms, which is our hybrid cloud management tool. But what it allows you to do is that when you talk about a cloud is not a single thing. It's not a single product. It's going to be several different items that you're going to put together to create a cloud. So starting at the base level, you're going to have all the different types of infrastructure. So whether it could be physical systems, could be Red Hat. Virtualization could be a third party like like VMware, or even new things that are coming out like OpenStack, for example. We just see these all as providers, and we'll just plug into them as they come along. So today, for example, we support Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization. We support VMware. Red Hat's currently in the process of creating a commercial distribution of OpenStack. We haven't. We've got a developer preview, if you want, that you can go download from redhat.com, but we don't have a commercial release. But when we do have a commercial release, that'll be another one that we'll support as well. And then we support public cloud providers like Amazon, as an example. In addition to that, of course, we supply stuff at the operating system level, as well as at the middleware level to build out the applications, because at the end of the day, the whole reason you're going to have a cloud is you want to be able to build out applications on top of that, so you've got to supply those layers, and then we supply storage. We'll talk about CloudForms here in a moment, and then also on top of this infrastructure, we're also getting ready to launch a new platform as a service offering called OpenShift as well. We have a hosted version of that today, and we'll have an on-premise version that we'll be launching relatively soon. So let's talk about the...
Are you also planning on doing something with Cloud
Foundry? Not right now. So we'll talk about this more from an infrastructure perspective, and I think this will kind of address some of your questions around the hypervisor piece of it. CloudForms is a management tool that we introduced earlier this year, which is how we provide all of our hybrid cloud management that would allow you to do things such as infrastructure as a service. It's really focused around three key items. It allows you to go through and actually build the different pools of cloud resources across multiple different types of providers, multiple virtualization providers, public cloud providers. It then allows you to build the applications that you're going to deploy onto that cloud infrastructure and manage those applications. And then finally, it has the self-service portal where you, end users, developers, others can come in and actually consume what those applications actually take a look at. So where most people, when they start putting a cloud management solution together, is the first place they'll start is going through and actually building out the cloud infrastructure itself. So this is to your point here. We look at this kind of agnostically. We don't. We support different types of virtualization providers and different public cloud providers, and over time we'll add more and more to these, but we're not locking you in to say you have to go with our virtualization technology on either the private cloud side or even out in the public cloud side. And the way that we can do all that is when I talked earlier about the Delta Cloud API, because it specifies what the rules are for interoperability back and forth between the different types of providers. So you can have as few or really as many as you want to create all of your resource pools. And this is what really enables the portability to be able to take a workload and move it across. So you might decide today you want to do all your dev test out in Amazon as an example, because that's the most cost-effective way to do it, because you only need those instances for, say, for a short duration. But then when it comes time for high availability, high stability, production type workloads, you want to move those back internally. Having that flexibility to do that is what CloudForms would provide. Now, in addition to the infrastructure, what I've noticed a lot when people talk about building out their clouds is they spend an awful lot of time on the infrastructure layer, and essentially how do you build out the virtual machines, for lack of a better way to look at it. And you can think of the virtual machines as just containers. I don't see a lot of people spending time on trying to actually manage what actually goes inside those containers at the same time. You might get a separate set of tools, like traditional systems management tools, to be able to do those, but people tend to treat them as two different things. I would argue the whole reason you have a cloud is because you want to be able to run the applications inside that cloud, so don't you want to have a integrated way to be able to go through and build those? And that's what we've done with CloudForms, is that you have inside of it, you'll go through and build what we call an application blueprint. The blueprint is a definition that defines what type of software and configuration and such will actually be contained inside that application. You'll go through and design those. You'll publish them into the catalog. Your end users can then come along and deploy those from the self-service catalog. And the final piece that I think often gets overlooked on the cloud side is how are you going to manage these things on an ongoing basis. Because a lot of the traditional systems management concepts, things like drift detection, things like patch management, configuration management, all of those things don't go away. Just because you move to a cloud architecture, you still need all of those things. I mean, you could argue that cloud is just really advanced systems management. There's a good argument to be made for that. So that's one of the reasons that we felt that was important to include inside of CloudForms. It's not just putting new infrastructure together, but how do you actually are able to build and then ultimately manage those applications once they've been deployed. Oh.
Application starts at development. Is CloudForms able to push through from we have the code in the CVS, pushes into CloudForms, and deploy on development, test, acceptance, production, and in between have the different versions as well, because we're always having different kind of versions developing at the same time. Is that possible as well? Or is it just, okay, we define the application and that's the application at this moment?
Well, you would define the blueprint, which is the definition of what software and configuration is into it, and then you essentially have VMs or systems tied to that particular blueprint. So if you update the blueprint, that can then replicate through and update those different systems.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
so if you wanted to have
release management cycle, basically.
Do you want to comment, Dirk?
We have some solutions around it. So this is just the product who is responsible for deploying the images and the software inside, but we have some service offerings around it, which handle the complete lifecycle, including CVS and Git integration and the DevOps approach. So how to handle release management in a holistic perspective, how to integrate it with different technologies and products to deploy, let's say, Java applications, JBoss operations network, and something on. So we have defined solutions for it.
Yeah. Kind of summarize, the combination is that you could use a combination of CloudForms plus some other tooling that we have, plus our consulting services and others, that we can actually put together those complete life cycles for you. And we've done that for a lot of customers to build out like standardized operating environments and such.
So is the managed piece essentially the same thing as what you get through the Red Hat network?
No, they're different. It's different tool sets.
Okay.
So Red Hat, it's a good question. So Red Hat network, if you take a look at and Red Hat Network itself, it's about 10 years old or so, and that's our traditional hosted product, which was really just focused on managing Red Hat Enterprise Linux, and then we extended that through with Red Hat Network Satellite to have that as kind of an on-premise. This would essentially be kind of the next generation beyond that. A lot of the same core principles are in both products, but whereas like Red Hat Network Satellite, for example, it's by the way, with the product was architected, it's limited to managing only RPMs. So it can only manage Red Hat Enterprise Linux. The intent here today, we support managing Red Hat Enterprise Linux through CloudForms, but long term, we're going to add in support for other operating systems such as Windows, which would not be possible because of the way Satellite's architected. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I installed something recently for the maintenance, which was like a standalone version that you could deploy within your own organization.
Satellite.
Is it, that's the satellite?
But it's the old product. We are talking about
right,
future.
Okay.
And we have an additional product which is called OpenShift, as we mentioned on one.
Lots of products. But probably the easiest way to think of it is that we have kind of our traditional systems management tools, which went through Red Hat Network and Red Hat Network Satellite, and this is now the next generation for the cloud stuff.
Oh, Spacewalk.
So Spacewalk is the open source project. So the way the Red Hat development model works is that every one of our commercial products has what we call an open source or upstream project where we take from the community. So for example, with Red Hat Enterprise Linux, the open source upstream project is Fedora. In the case of Satellite, Satellite's our commercial product we sell, but the open source version that anyone can download is called Spacewalk.
Okay, but this is another step up, another generational.
Yes. So this is kind of the next generation of things. And one of the big advantages of the CloudForms approach that we have is that we really focus everything on managing these blueprints and then being able to take the blueprints and deploying them across different types of infrastructure. If your goal was to be able to leverage different virtualization providers or be able to leverage different public cloud providers, one of the challenges that you're going to face is the fact that every one of these different providers has their own format for deploying onto their infrastructure. They have different, you know, if you go to Amazon, they have their AMIs, their Amazon Machine Images. And even if the application you want to deploy, the image you want to deploy is going to be the same, like I want to use a database image, for example, I'm going to have to format it differently and have a different version for each one of these different types of infrastructure that I want to be able to deploy it across. That's just a fundamental complexity. Because of that, what ends up happening is most people decide, you know what, I'm only going to have one place I'm going to deploy everything because it's too much complexity. What CloudForms does is we say, just don't worry about this underlying infrastructure complexity, because all you have to do is manage the one template, and then we take care of all the complexity of formatting that into the various images of whatever infrastructure that you're trying to use. So the bottom line is that gives you the choice to pick out whatever infrastructure you want that best meets your needs instead of being locked in to one particular place. Last thing I'll mention real quickly, because then I'm already getting the hook to be done. The last piece that we have inside of CloudForms is you can build the infrastructure, you can build the applications. The last piece is the self-service portal. And that's what probably most people, when they think of a cloud of infrastructure as a service, is how do I actually consume it? So we provide the self-service portal so end users can come and based on their user ID and password determine what they're allowed to have access to. Administrators can set up all the policies, define all the applications. And I think this is important for an enterprise organization. because it still allows your administrators to be in control. When you have things like corporate governance and risk avoidance that you're trying to take care of, you still have to have the ability to be in control. And so that's an important part of it that we provide to as well. So three key things that you can do there: build out the cloud infrastructure, build and manage the applications, be able to govern all that through the Govern self-service, and that is how all this comes together into CloudForms. And that is the Red Hat Open Hybrid Cloud. So I know I'm out of time, but I'll be around for a while both now and over in the booth. I've got a couple of my colleagues here. We'd be happy to talk to you more about any Red Hat products or services that you might be interested in. Thank you.